Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. This episode is the first part of a series on the Great Debate. I'm calling it that not because it's a great debate in terms of content or style, but also I'm calling it that because it covered a wide variety of issues, and it may be the only presidential debate we get in this election. So, I know it's a bit late, but this week got kind of crazy. So anyway, buckle your seatbelts. This episode is called The Great Debate Part 1 Overview. Let's get started. So, to begin with, the moderators were biased. I was not surprised by that because they had the debate on ABC News, which is a left-wing news outlet. And a lot of times the moderators are biased. I've seen reports on social media that the moderators were told to be biased. I'm not sure whether that's the case. I'm more inclined to believe that they just were very biased to begin with. And I noticed that this bias was on display very obviously when Trump started talking about Russiagate. And the moderators like went into panic mode when he got just a few seconds in. And I noticed they interrupted him a lot. Like, they would say, "We have so many issues to cover, thank you." And they never seemed to do that to her. They only seemed to do that to him. And then there were 5 interruptions that were people talking over each other. Now, I know I'm probably in the minority on the right in this, but I think it's a good thing to have the mics muted when the candidates are not supposed to be talking, because I think the way a debate should go is you have the question, and then the first candidate speaks, candidate 2 speaks, we go on and on like that. Because I think the purpose of a debate is not to create entertainment. It's not a comedy show. The purpose of the debate is so that we know what your approaches are to issues and how you would fix them. And how the other candidate would. And we can judge for ourselves which candidate is better based on that. At least partially based on that. Maybe not entirely. But I do think that in this debate, unlike in the Biden debate, that approach didn't go as well because the moderators acted like it was a 3-on-1 tag team, and they would often quote-unquote fact-check Trump with things that were actually false. And that's the thing. Fact-checking in theory sounds great because you can sift out all the inaccurate stuff from the accurate stuff. But in practice, what ends up happening is it ends up being very one-sided. You have the left deciding what is true and what is not true based on what they like and what they don't like. And that's not a good place to be in our society. It creates a lot of distrust. And that's part of why you're seeing so much distrust in the media and whatnot, is because it all leans one way. And then I noticed that the 2 candidates approached the debate very differently. Harris, at times, could not seem to answer a direct question if her life depended on it. While Trump seemed to be very confident and even had some humor in his responses. For Harris, the examples would be that when she was asked the first question, "Are we better off now than we were 4 years ago?" she could not seem to provide an honest, like, direct answer. She instead kind of Grandpa Simpsoned her way through a story about her childhood and her family, which sounds great and all, but the question was about economics, first of all. And second of all, she's not 4 years old, so the question has nothing to do with her answer, because her answer had nothing to do with 4 years ago. And then Trump, meanwhile, provided a lot of examples of things that have gone up in price, and they're everyday things that Americans use frequently. I'll get to that in the economics episode. And then the other example was that Harris was asked whether her values have changed, if her policy positions have changed, because she claims, like, my values haven't changed, even though all her policy positions seem to have changed within the last, like, month and a half at most. And she kind of word saladed her way through. Meanwhile, at the beginning, Trump referenced her flip-flopping without saying the word flip-flopping by joking about he was about to send her a MAGA hat because she was adopting all his policies. And I thought that was pretty clever. And then there were also some red herrings and incoherent comments made by the candidates. Most of the ones I noticed were from Harris. She made some comment about Trump meeting with the Taliban, and she made another ridiculous claim about him sending love letters to Kim Jong-un, which I'm sorry, but a meeting with a foreign leader is not the same thing, sending a love letter, as I'll mention in the foreign policy episode. But then she also made some comment about Putin wanting to eat Polish Americans for lunch, and it just makes no sense because, like, it's unclear whether Putin wants to invade Poland, but even if he does, I'm not aware of a bunch of Polish Americans planning to suddenly move back to Poland, so who knows what she was trying to say there. And, like, as I'll get to in the foreign policy episode, it's kind of nonsensical to claim that Trump would want Putin to invade Russia. It just seems completely nonsensical. And then another red herring was she attacked Trump for his rallies and his crowd sizes, which, I'm sorry, but as far as I'm aware, her rallies have not drawn nearly the same crowd, and if they had, I would think the media that's all on her side would be reporting it all over the place. So the fact is, Trump does draw large crowds, has the entire time he's been running in political office, and the fact is that Harris's rallies don't draw nearly as many people. And not only that, but we have so many other more important issues to be talking about that crowd sizes seems like the last issue we could be talking about, because it doesn't get us anywhere. It's irrelevant to anything. And then Trump did kind of go on a bit of a detour with the dogs and cats thing. I'll cover that in the illegal immigration episode because it's kind of unclear whether that's actually happening. But either way, it gave the media more ammunition to go after him with, and it just kind of distracted from the main issue. Illegal immigration is a very important issue, but the comment about dogs and cats, I think, kind of distracted people from it a little bit. Okay, now I'm going to get into some of the issues that were covered. Because some of the issues that were covered did not have enough meat on their bones, so to speak, to be an episode of their own. There were four that come to mind. The first one is gun violence. Gun violence is an endemic problem. It's been a problem for years. We can do another episode about it. I would not be opposed to that. But the truth of the matter is that the gun is not what kills people. It's the person deciding to go out and kill people that kills people, because the gun is not alive. It'd be like taking a box of matches to court for burning a house down. It just does not make sense. But Harris claimed in 2019 that she was in favor of a gun buyback program, and then in the debate she claimed she's against it. So that was one more example of the flip-flopping. And then the moderators, of course, asked about the climate myth, the climate change myth. And it's no surprise that Harris believes in it, because I'm pretty sure everybody on the left believes in it. Heck, it wouldn't surprise me if it's like a requirement to be on the left. You have to believe in this thing, because everybody on the left believes in it. Even some people on the right believe in it to some extent or another. I don't. I think climate change is fake, but you're entitled to your opinion on that. I'm only mentioning it because it was briefly covered towards the end of the debate. The third issue that came up, I think it was unnecessary for Trump to bring up Harris's race. I think, yes, we should point out that she cuts away parts of herself that are not politically expedient at the time, and it is notable that she leaned into the Indian part of her at the beginning of her start in politics, and now she leans mainly just into the black part of her. But that's only necessary briefly to mention as an example of her not being genuine. I don't think that race should be an issue in this election, because I don't think race should be an issue, period. And I think that it is often made into an issue when it shouldn't be. I will say, for the sake of technical accuracy, that Obama was not the first black president. He was the first mixed president, because his mom was white and his dad was black. But I'm only saying that for the purposes of accuracy, because the truth of the matter is, that's not the reason I don't like him. The reason I don't like him is because he was a socialist who divided the country and ran on unity, but was entirely dishonest. He ran on hope and change in 2008, and then introduced a bunch of disastrous policies like Obamacare, which is a complete mess. And then he also let his wife run roughshod over school lunches and ruin them, and then wonders why more food gets thrown in the trash. But that's the reason I don't like him, is because he's a dishonest socialist. It has nothing to do with his race. I would have the same complaints about Bernie Sanders if Bernie Sanders did the same stuff. I mean, also, Obama did run in 2012 a very racially polarized campaign and then bought into all the BLM nonsense, but that's the reason I don't like him. That has nothing to do with the color of his skin specifically. And in fact, I would say it's a sin to be racist, because in the book of Genesis, it clearly says in Genesis 1 that God created man in his own image. And so then there's that. Actually, I could be wrong. It might be Genesis 2, but I know it's in Genesis. I don't remember the verse exactly, but I know it's in Genesis that God created man in his own image. It doesn't specify any specific race of man, it just says man. So, therefore, that means that every man, regardless of the color of his skin, is created in God's image. So, if you're being racist, you're judging people for the color of their skin, and so you're judging them not only for something they can't control, but also because of something that God gave them, the way God created them in his image. So then there's that. And then the final issue that came up in the debate was the idea of repealing and replacing Obamacare. I don't have a firm opinion on that subject. I do think our healthcare system is a mess. And I think that all the ways that the left proposes to fix it will only make it worse. But I'm not sure what I feel about repealing and replacing, simply because I don't know what that entails. It would be like if, imagine you're a parent, and your school decides to make a big hullabaloo about replacing all the food in the cafeteria. They're replacing it. They're getting rid of the old, in with the new. But they don't say whether it's going to be a different cuisine, whether the prices will change, whether it's just a change of suppliers because this supplier is cheaper or easier to transport. They don't say how long it'll be until this replacement goes into effect. Will it be next week, next month, next school year, next semester? It's like that. And so, until I hear a clear plan of what that would look like, I don't have an opinion on that, because I don't have enough information. So, to recap, the debate was a 3-on-1 tag team, essentially. The moderators were biased. There were several interruptions and false fact checks. There were a lot of red herrings. Trump and Harris's style were very different, because Trump was much more confident and much more direct. There were a lot of issues covered that did not get a lot of airtime, so to speak, and so therefore they didn't have a lot of material to support them or going along with them. For example, the four issues that come to mind are guns, climate, race, and healthcare. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you'll come back for the other parts of this series. And you can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, and the RSS feed. And also, be sure to follow the Facebook page so you see any announcements that I make, although I will also make them here. I'm still working on creating a Facebook group for listeners of this show, and when I get that created, I will let you know. All right. If you've enjoyed this episode, feel free to pass it along to anybody that might be interested. And thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.